Hello and welcome to the Flight Free podcast, the place for uplifting stories, grounded adventures, and enlightening reasons why not to fly. For the next 25 minutes, we hope to inspire, inform, and entertain. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Hello and welcome to the Flight Free podcast. I'm Anna, the director of Flight Free UK, and this month our entire team is contributing to our podcast. So say hi, team.
Hello.
Hi.
This is the end of our Flight Free year for those of you who pledged to be Flight Free in 2021. And we want to just have a little think about how the year has gone and how we've been affected by things like COVID, which is still here very much with us. Keeping people inspired about why they should be pledging has been a challenge, which is one of the reasons why we've changed our pledge card now to specify that we're flight free for the climate. Lots of people have said to us, well, I was flight free anyway. You know, yes, of course I could take a flight free year, COVID came along. But having changed our pledge card to now say flight free for the climate is a good thing to make sure that people understand why we're doing this. So one of the main things that COVID has impacted is the way we travel. With this campaign, we talk a lot about how not flying doesn't mean not traveling. So we're going to share with you some of our stories about what travel we've done this year. Gemma, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have been able to go to Cornwall and also to the south of France for my birthday. So we went on the Eurostar and then down through France on the train, which was, it's just a really nice way to travel. It just, it's so relaxing because you can just sit there for a 6 hours and watch the countryside go by and then watch the, you know, the weather change. And it was lovely. Yeah, it's nice. And I feel very lucky to have been able to do that this year.
Were there any restrictions on what you had to do? Like, did you have to fill in forms and stuff to go to France?
We had to fill in a couple of forms to go into France, but no one checked anything. So I don't know what happened there. And then it was just as they had said that we only needed to take a test on day two and we didn't have to isolate coming back from France, so we had to do the passenger locator, but it was fairly easy then to come back, which was good.
And which part of France did you go to? Where were you holidaying?
We were near Bordeaux, Bergerac. My brother drove. I tried to convince him to come on the train with us, but he insisted on driving, and we didn't really go too far. We just kind of stayed in the area and just did long walks and stayed in the house, really. It was nice and relaxed because I think we were just so tired from the year and not having had many breaks from work. It's nice to kind of just do nothing and just be somewhere else.
And would you recommend that to other people who usually might fly to Bordeaux?
Yeah, definitely. It just feels so smooth and it's just less stressful. You don't have to worry about checking any bags in anywhere and worrying about them getting lost. And the connections are usually pretty good. I think in the trains in Europe are really, really good, and they're really, there's lots of them and they're quite on time. Nice to travel that way. So I would definitely recommend it. And it really doesn't take as long as you think it does as well. I think people just have this idea in their head that it takes a long time, but it doesn't take that much longer than a flight.
Has anyone else been abroad this year? I don't think so. But Bertie, you also went to Cornwall. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I got the coach overnight down to Cornwall, which it was comfortable enough. It wasn't quite as nice as getting a train, but it's quite ideal because you don't really waste any time and you get there in the morning, feel fresh enough. And yeah, it was a lovely, lovely week. The weather was really good. And when it's like that, there's not really anywhere else I'd rather be.
Overnight coach travel, that's hardcore, man. Do you have any tips for anybody else about how to make that journey not quite so awful as it sounds?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no shame in making yourself as comfortable as possible. So taking a pillow or a neck pillow, an eye mask, earplugs, that kind of thing, they're all very helpful. And yeah, getting there early probably to get a good seat.
What's a good seat for you?
For me, ideally the most legroom because I can be a bit cramped for space sometimes. I did it on my own. I would probably recommend doing it with someone else. That I can imagine that would be a little bit more fun if you had someone to chat to. But you do pass through some really nice places, get some really nice views down by Plymouth and through Cornwall when you get there in the morning.
Go on, Sneeta.
I love the coach, and I think they get like a bit of a bad rep. And like, apart from, yeah, they do take a bit longer than trains, that's true. Apart from that, I really like them. And when I was 4 years old, my parents booked a trip to Italy. So my parents, me and my brother, and it was a very long trip. I remember that. It was very long. And for sure, like probably quite uncomfortable at times, but I still remember parts of that trip, and it was really interesting. And I remember going through the mountains and like certain landscapes. And obviously I don't remember it all because I was very young, but yeah, it was great. I've taken a couple of night coaches and they're great. They're fun. I really like them. But I also feel like part of it does add a little bit to your journey and to your memories, because that's what life is made of. Like, it's not always comfort. And
I think you've made a good statement there, Sneeta, about life. Do you want to go on about your journeys from this year then, Sneeta?
Yeah, so I did go up to Scotland most recently for COP26. And it was the first time I'd been to Glasgow. I've been to Scotland before, I've been to Edinburgh. But what I found was, even though I was there for the first 2 weeks in like sort of living slash work scenario, it was a really cool way to actually get a feel for the city, which sometimes you don't get when you're just going as a tourist. And yeah, but I was very glad to see it as a tourist at the end, because I would have felt really gutted if I'd left the city and not got to see it like that. So that was really cool. Oh, and by the way, I should add, I booked a train on the way back last minute. And I'm saying, like, so it was booked for like a Tuesday evening, and I booked it on like Sunday night or something. And it was £40 from Glasgow to London.
That's cheaper than a flight.
Although overall, I do agree, train prices need to come down. Low fares do exist.
Cool, thanks. Okay, Ella, do you want to regale us with your travels next?
Yeah, I've got to say, I feel a little bit boring listening to everybody's travel stories. I haven't done very much this year outside of Bristol, to be honest. Most recently, last weekend, I went to Brighton to stay with my boyfriend's parents, and we got the train into London. So that was really nice, very manic, because it was the Black Friday weekend. So a lot of people were shopping, I think. So it was very busy. But yeah, I wanted to say that I've been inspired by Flight Free, because we're doing our holiday in January and we're going to drive over to the west coast of Ireland for a week and take the ferry. So this time last year, I would have thought to just get a flight, but yeah, after hearing everybody's travel stories, I'm going to do the drive and the ferry.
Amazing. And also, Ella, just because you haven't gone on a foreign trip or gone particularly far this year, I think one of the things we try to remind people is that it's not all about travelling. Being flight free isn't about flight free travel necessarily. It's about appreciating where you are. And especially this year, when we have been so restricted, actually we found joy in those small things, haven't we? Like the simple stuff of seeing our family and exploring the places closer to home that we wouldn't necessarily have seen before.
I agree. Yeah, I've done a lot more stuff in and around Bristol City, which I guess usually you think, oh, I need to get away, get on holiday, but just enjoying the little things in the city that you live in.
Amazing. Imogen, have you had any of those kind of hyper-local experiences like we've just been talking about, do you reckon?
Well, I didn't realise how close some RSPB reserves were to me. So it was great seeing them and walking around them. So much of London used to be heathland, and now you can go a bit outside London and see what it was like before. That was really interesting.
That is really interesting. Are these kind of in the Cone Valley, or is this more like Barnes Wetland Centre, or what are the places?
This is in Surrey. So it's near like Farnham. Yeah, there's a couple reserves there that are heathland. And they're quite different reserves as well. So one's more of like a dry heath, and one I would say is more wet and it's like boggy. There's a lot more ponds there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting what you said about how that's what London used to be like. And it's true of every city, isn't it? You kind of forget how much things have changed away from nature.
Yeah, because it like the names of things you can tell, like so many places have heath in the name, or like there's greens that used to be heaps as well.
Really interesting. Okay, thanks. Amy, do you want to go next?
I've done sort of a couple of long weekends in places and a few day trips, a couple in the Peak District and then some in North Yorkshire as well. But my favourite trip of this year was on my birthday. I went on a day trip to Bakewell in the Peak District. And I love going there. And part of the reason I love going there is because I get the bus, and because you can catch a bus from Sheffield Interchange. And I agree with Sunita. I think buses get a very bad rep. I love buses. And like the journey is just so lovely because you start out obviously in the city centre, but then as you sort of weave yourself out through all the suburbs and watch the landscape kind of turn from city to moorland, and then you get deeper into the Peak District. It's just, I just love it. It's such a lovely drive. It doesn't take that long either. And I think it's quite affordable. And yeah, I just really loved that day out and loved that journey.
I once remember a bus journey from Manchester to Sheffield. And it's those little ones that stick in your mind, isn't it? It's just so spectacular.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's because it's sort of the journeys that you don't expect, like, especially with bus travel, because it's most people just think of it as, oh, I need to do this to get from A to B. But I just think it highlights how spectacular some of those journeys can be. And they kind of get to you in ways that you weren't expecting.
Well, Maggie, do you want to share your travel stories from this year with us then, please?
Sure. So for holidays, we stayed in the UK. We spent a week in Suffolk near my husband's family and a week in Wales. And the week in Wales, we went to stay in Pembrokeshire. So it's the third time we've been. And we stay in a cottage that's not too far from the beach. And I could go over every morning before breakfast to the beach. And the sand is so silky and I could have a swim. And I didn't quite manage to be the first person on the beach, actually, during this holiday. I've managed that before. It's a very, very popular beach. But if you go there early, then it's pretty quiet. And the swimming was amazing. And it was different each day. Some days there were waves with white horses. And another day it was so still, you could lie on your back and just float and look at the sunrise. So amazing. And I think, you know, an overlooked experience that's so close to home. Because people come in non-COVID times, people come from really far away to visit the Pembrokeshire coast. But for some reason, because it's near at hand, you know, people here take it for granted. So that was fantastic. We did were you talking about hyper-local travel? We did a bit of that as well early in the summer when we were still coming out of lockdown. We didn't want to use public transport at all. We don't have a car. There's a place in Bristol that I'd never been to, the Blaise Hamlet. And I saw something about it in an architecture article. And I thought, this is crazy, I've never been there. So we just walked on Sunday. It was a really, really hot, sunny day. And we started walking. Unfortunately, a lot of it was along a main road, which wasn't great. But we took over an hour to walk there. But at one point, we turned off the main road into a part of Bristol that I'd never been in. And the sun was beating down. And I felt exactly like I was on holiday in the south of France or something. A really fresh landscape. And we went through this little 18th century village, which I didn't realise existed, but is now incorporated into Bristol. And then Blaise Hamlet turns out to be these fabulously picturesque cottages that were built for old retainers of the Blaise estate to live in when they retired. So it was something that the sort of the aristocrats wouldn't spoil their view, you know. It was gorgeous, gorgeous little gingerbread cottages and fruit trees and a kind of village green that they grouped around. So that was a bit of an adventure. And then we walked home.
I love it. That's such a nice balance to all of the stories, isn't it? So we've had those flight-free travels across Europe, Gemma going to France, and we've had those kind of official holidays. But yeah, also those other experiences that show that we can really enjoy life and discover new things without really going very far at all. And that is definitely one of the things that we've all been forced to discover during COVID. And there are lots of frustrations and lots of negative things about the restrictions that we're currently living with. But I do find one of the recurring themes from people getting in touch with us is being forced to stay put has shown me that there's some amazing stuff on my doorstep. And these are things I would never have discovered otherwise. with our team, which is mostly made up of volunteers. People come and go. And we currently, it's just Gemma and Maggie who have been here for more than a year. So you were here this time last year, giving your reflections on the previous year. And everybody else, and Sunita, sorry, of course, Sunita was there too. Everybody else has joined just this year. So I think it would be nice to see if, especially for those of you who are new to the campaign, has this given you new conversations that you have now had with those around you? And would you like to share any of those conversations? Amy, do you want to share anything?
I had a conversation a couple of months ago, which kind of in the moment really struck me because we were discussing potential holidays for next year in Ireland. It's some place that I've always wanted to go. And we were talking about it as a family with my parents and a few other people. And I hadn't contributed to the conversation at this point, but they were talking about how to get there and they were weighing up sort of the benefits and costs of taking the ferry or flying. And it was becoming a bit clear that they weren't that keen on taking the ferry at all. And sort of saying things like, oh, you know, flying is cheaper, it's quicker, sort of the arguments you usually would hear. And I just said, whatever you decide to do, I've taken a pledge to be flight free next year, so I'll be taking the ferry. I don't want to fly. And like, I didn't ask them to do it with me. I didn't say, oh, we can't fly because I can't fly. I just said, that's what I'm doing. And it was like the conversation sort of did a 180 spin. And all of a sudden they were saying, oh, well, the ferry's not actually that long. Or I suppose if we took the ferry, we could take the car instead of hiring one over there. I didn't get a confirmed decision out of them, but I think it did really make them think about their choices and what they were going to do. And in that moment, I thought, well, that's a win, surely. And it was really nice. And I thought, well, if that can happen a couple more times, you know, maybe someone else might decide to, like, not fly for one trip. And that kind of knock-on effect is really important. I just felt like that was a really good moment.
That's amazing. Thanks, Amy. Bertie, do you have anything? Because I kind of feel like when you get involved in the campaign, those conversations sort of come along quite quickly. Have you found that?
Yeah, I definitely kind of agree a little bit with what Amy said, in that I wouldn't say I've necessarily had to bring up that many conversations, but they kind of pop up sometimes. Mostly recently for kind of hypothetical holiday planning with my friends. They'll talk about going ideally somewhere hot and sunny, somewhere quick to get to. And yeah, I'll just kind of mention that for it to be feasible for me, I'll need to be able to get there quickly without flying. It never leads to like a huge conversation and this amazing moment, but it does, you can kind of see the cogs whirring among some of them. And they're definitely thinking about it. And yeah, people, like, I've talked to my friends about it without me bringing it up. They know that I do it, and they're just interested to hear about the campaign and about personal reasoning behind it and what it's involved for me, which is just quite nice because it's a different kind of conversation to a lot of the ones you normally have with people around you. It feels like quite an important thing to talk about.
That's really good to hear. Gemma, do you want to share any thoughts along these lines?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts.
Great.
When one person is really saying, like, I've actually made this pledge and I'm sticking to it, and you can travel however you like, but I will be going by train if you're organising a holiday or a trip or something, it does stop people when they do sort of think, oh, well, it'd be nice to travel all together, so maybe I can also look at the train as well and go with you. So it is a talking point, and it does get people thinking. I found that as well. When I say I'm involved with the campaign, people are interested to hear more about it and exactly what the pledge involves.
I'm still waiting for a breakthrough from my brother. When I first joined the campaign, so like a year ago, and asked him and told him about what I was doing, and he kind of said, he was very open, really receptive, really lovely, but he was like, I can't because we have a trip planned with the boys, him and like some friends as a group, go away together once a year. And sometimes they do it in the UK, but sometimes they don't. And anyway, so that was that. And then we've spoken about it since, and he always asks about the campaign, and he's very supportive and stuff, and he knows what I do. So yeah, I'm still like on like the edge of my seat waiting for his reply about whether he's actually come to a decision to like not fly, and there's been a breakthrough, or he was just like, yeah, I don't. He could be really like really underwhelming and just be like, oh yeah, well I can't fly anyway, so I just signed a sign. Like, it could just be like that. I don't know. Anyway, last point of the story is the boys did have their holiday, but it was like in London, and he sent me like a little postcard, and they did lots of stuff in the UK, so I know they've had their boys trip anyway, so I don't know if it's just because of COVID or what. I don't know, keep you informed.
Yeah, please do. Okay, Ella, do you have anything else that you want to add?
I would only just add about like a highlight for me was going to the Global Day of Action March in Bristol and just speaking to some people about the campaign, because it's the first time I've done anything like that. And like the response with like the majority of people I spoke to, they actually already didn't fly. So obviously I still encourage them to take the pledge if they hadn't already, but it's just nice to get that, to hear people agreeing that, you know, this is not flying is something that we can do, and it's really important in trying to reduce our emissions. So that was my highlight.
Oh, brilliant. It's really good when we're able to go out and speak to people and find out that it's not just us, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Maggie, you're mute. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hi, Maggie.
Well, I just asked my family, and on a previous occasion when we were talking about being nice, I said that I'd had a huge row back with my sister about being flight free. Anyway, she pledged. And not only did she pledge, but she then sent an email about the pledge to everyone in her beekeeping group and suggested that to them as well. So she said, I'm not quite sure how to broach it. So I gave her some tips. I don't know if she used those, but she did say that she did contact them. So that was fantastic. That was very quick, a quick evolution from not signing to signing to being an advocate for the campaign as well. But I think she's reflecting that she knows that concern about the climate is at an all-time high, you know, so that if you suggest it to people, it doesn't fall on stony ground the way it might have done a few years ago. It falls on fertile ground, and a lot of people are trying to think of things that they could do to help, and the Flight Free Pledge is an excellent place to start.
Well, thank you, Maggie. I think that's a very powerful way to conclude, and that's pretty much it for our 2021 podcast series. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed the stories we've brought you this year. Please do go onto our website, where you will find the full 2021 series, and you'll also find series from previous years. We've really enjoyed exploring all these different conversations, including behaviour change with Tony from Veganuary, green technology with aerospace engineer Finley Asher, social and racial justice with Poppy Okocha and Francisca Rocky, activism, travelling to see family and friends, UK travel, climate and the pandemic, COP26, voluntourism and eco-anxiety. We're going to leave you with Sunita, Maggie and Bertie choosing their favourite episodes from the year, starting with Sunita.
Yeah, so there's one called voluntourism, and that was with Alan and Maggie, I think. I thought it was one of the most interesting ones, and it touched on social, different aspects of justice, so climate justice, racial justice and social justice, and it, I think, offered some interesting perspectives that possibly westernized people may not have thought about before with regards to volunteering abroad. So I thought it offered some really cool insights, and also I thought it was good because there was a range of different voices on there, and Alan was really like honest about his experience and what he thought back then to what he thinks now, and there was like no BS with it, which I thought was really good because it was just honest and raw, and I thought that was really helpful. There was a group called No White Saviours on there. If you haven't listened to it, definitely listen to it. It's great.
Thank you. Maggie, do you want to say something about a podcast episode that is a particular favourite of yours?
They're all my favourites, really. I really, really enjoyed the one that Sunita and Armel did with Poppy Okocha and our girl Francisca. From the Black Geographers. Francisca, yes, that's right. That was really enjoyable. I love the things that they shared about their backgrounds. And I also enjoyed the one that we did about flying to see or not flying to see family and friends, because I thought there was some really sort of important wisdom there about how people had kept in touch with families without seeing them that regularly.
Bertie, do you have any favourite ones?
I'll just go with the most recent one, because that's what I remember the best. But yeah, talking to Tori and Henrietta, I really liked that episode, because it's just a really interesting topic. Climate anxiety, and it's something that you don't hear people talk about as much a lot of the time.
Thanks, Bertie, and thanks to the whole team for sharing your travel stories and your experiences of being flight-free campaigners this year. And thanks to you for listening. We wish you health and happiness for the festive season from the whole team here at Flight Free UK. See you in the new year.
Thank you for your company at this Flight Free podcast episode. We hope you enjoyed the journey. You can find out more about the campaign at our website, flightfree.co.uk, or find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Flight Free UK. Until next time, stay grounded.